As I've said, my name is John, and I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I was meditating the whole week about what God is saying I need to preach today. I even felt like I was Paul who said, I was supposed to come to you, but the Holy Spirit hindered me. I even said, God, is this you or is this Satan hindering me to come to church? There are many things I want us to do, but time will not allow. But I know the Lord, as He is a Redeemer, He is the Redeemer of time. He will redeem that which He has said must happen. I like the last song because it ushers me into a place of saying Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Can I have, please, the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible reads and says, yet we have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. Not any other spirit of faith, but the same spirit. As he who wrote, I have believed. I believe this is a gathering of believers. Do you believe? I want to hear you say, I believe. Do you believe? So, because the Bible says, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. So it means it's not only a matter of believing, it's also a matter of speaking. For the word is in Romans that everyone who believes that the Lord died and was rose or He has risen on the third day is ought to clearly and audibly confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. So the scripture says, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. What is this thing that we speak? What is it that we believe? This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Normally and generally, churches will wait until the end of the sermon to ask people who want to come to Christ. But today I want to ask you, the Holy Spirit led you to leave your home. He led you to come to this place. He has led you in many places, in many troubled waters, in valleys. He has led you on mountains, on top of mountains and on the bottom of mountains. He has led you in every circumstance you have seen the hand of the Lord. That verse does not say whoever is a Christian. It doesn't say whoever is holy. It doesn't say whoever is clean. It doesn't even say whoever is beautiful or whoever made up their hair. It just says whoever believes. Therefore, speak. So I want to do an altar call right now, at this moment. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. If there's any way that you have moved, you feel your life has moved away from the presence of God, that you feel your life has been dry, you've been in the wilderness, you have done things that you did not want to do, and you feel that you are very far away from God, whereas God is saying, I am yet very close to you. He said, I have given my only begotten Son to come into this earth, to come and die and sacrifice His life for us. For the one who believes, for the one who can call upon His name, that he will be saved. So right now, as you are sitting there, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. I want to urge you that there is life, an eternal life, in the life of Christ. I want to urge you that the water, the living water that comes from Christ, it's the water that as you drink, you will never thirst or run dry. So I want you at the count of three, if you want to restore your relationship with God, and say, Father, I have moved away from you. I have felt it. I did not know what to do. But this preacher today is calling me to raise my hand and say, I want to come back into the sheepfold. And this second category is the ones that have never been, or have never even been called into an altar prayer. You've went to churches, but they've never asked you to welcome Jesus and take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you also, if you belong to that group, raise your hand. We are not talking about belonging to church. We are talking about belonging to Christ. Let Him be Lord over your life. So at the count of one, two, three, if you are here, raise your hand. Amen. I see one hand. I thank the Lord. Heaven is rejoicing. I see one, I see two, I see three. It's not an auction. I see four. Bless your heart. Thank you, Father. I see five, I see six. The door is still open. The angel of the Lord still has the door open to say, come into heaven. With that being said, I want us to pray this prayer. I want to also say, this is the best decision that anyone could ever make in their life, to choose Jesus and accept Him in our hearts. Jesus changes everything. He gives life. He gives hope. He is the hope of glory. He gives peace. He heals. He delivers. He restores. He's the greatest miracle of all. I want us to have this Zoe life. If you were too shy to raise your hand, you are not condemned. You can still pray this prayer as if you raised your hand, and God will see your heart. I want us to have a Zoe life, the God kind of life, the rich, abundant, divine nature of God. It is marvelous in our sight. His fullness of love, joy, power and ability to do things that we were unable to do. So church, help those that have raised their hand to pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day, you raised Him from the grave. I confess that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. By the washing of your precious blood, Jesus, I invite you into my life, into my heart, into my home, to be Lord over everything in my life. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I'll be empowered to live a life pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to continue and pray this prayer as well. Because God said that He has given us a gift, which is the Holy Spirit. He is there for sanctification, for transformation, transfiguration, and to empower us. As the apostles were in one accord in the upper room, the Lord said, gather there. And when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, He shall give you power. This is a promise according to Acts 1 verse 4. It is a promise of the Father. As much as we have the 144,000 promises in the Bible, this is one of the promises that God has for His children. And the greatest gift is the Holy Spirit. He said, it is expedient that I leave so that the Holy Spirit may come. So I'm going to pray this prayer. Just believe in your heart, agree with me, and hear what the Word of God is saying. Matthew 7 verse 9 to 12, it tells us that if you who is evil in your heart know how to give good gifts to your children, that if they ask for bread, you will not give them a stone, neither will you give them a snake. So the Word of God is giving us an access, an ability for us to ask Father for what I'm going to ask Him. This is a gift that is received by faith. So silently as I pray, you can pray the prayer after me as well. So we are saying this prayer, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, the resurrected one, I thank you for your promise to your people, that you will baptize them with the Holy Spirit, with fire and with power. So right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Father God, baptize us with your Holy Spirit for sanctification. We receive also the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit for holy life living, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer and you believe, I am telling you, God is my witness, from today, things that were a struggle would be easy. Things that were a hardship would be easy. It doesn't mean when you took Jesus and you left the dishes at home, when you come back, you won't find them. They will still be there. That's why Paul says, work out your salvation with trembling and with fear. We ought to fear the Lord. He is not supposed to be taken lightly. This is why I also struggled to come here, because I was fearing what God is saying, that if I ask the people to take Jesus as their Lord and Savior, no one will raise their hand. And He said, you are not responsible for the church. The church is mine. I died for it. And I'm coming back real soon. So this is why we are preparing. Maybe just to share a little bit, for the past year, I found myself God using me to go from one church to another. It only struck me now that I was almost, not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but I was almost like the angel who visited the churches that the book of Revelation spoke about. I'll try to be sensitive with my information, so if you don't understand, I'm sorry. So there were churches I was going to that God was sending me. And he was telling me and giving me prophecies to say, tell the man of God, this is what you must do in your house. There were many churches that I visited that they started changing the format of how they were doing things. Not because I was there, but because the Lord gave me a word and he said to me, I think it's 1 Peter 3, he said, there is nothing that can be hidden. That word that you have will be known. You are not the only one who will know that word. It's just that because you are available, I am going to send you. Some men of God I had the opportunity to speak to. Some others I did not get the opportunity to speak to them. But my presence being there, and some words were confusing. I don't know who is a prophet in the church, but as a prophet and God gives you a word and say, just go there to that house. And you say, what do I say when I get there? He says, you say nothing, you request a meeting with the pastor of the church, and you say nothing. How do I come and call Dr. Harry, and I say to him, the Lord has sent me with a word, and he says, what's the word? And I say, I don't know it. Being a leader of the church, you have to be foolish to follow God, even when it doesn't make sense. The word said, we are of the same spirit of faith. So you walk by faith, you don't walk by sight. Unfortunately, one of the men of God that I visited his church, I spoke to him, I gave him the word that the Lord said to me, I must come here and I must see you and you must see me and you will know what the Lord has told you before, that this is time for you to do that which he told you to do. And he didn't do it. In the unfortunate of things, he lost a daughter. I'm not saying the Lord killed the daughter. I'm saying, when you refuse and you wrestle against God, there are certain things that will happen in your life that will show that they will say, this is not God. So we ought to be careful. So in all of that, I was very fearful of the Lord, because I had tapped into a certain level that I wasn't aware that I could tap into that level. I saw myself as a servant in the church, and he said, you are my son. As much as today, as you have received the Lord and Savior, he says, I have given you right to become my son, to become my daughter. And he said, I'm not sending you as a servant, I'm sending you as a son. And a son will relate what the father's will or his heart is for these people. We have people in every place, whether our workplaces, whether our schools, whether our churches, that are planted to bring havoc. Even in our homes, we have people that are planted to come and bring havoc. Then there will be someone that God will send. The person doesn't have to be liked. You don't have to know the person. And the person will come into church and will say, this is not the order of God. And that person's voice will be heard, and that person's word will remain, as if it were God who was there, who wrote that word. The same way the angels wrote the letters and said to this church, I'm blaming you, I am telling you that you have faltered me in this area, and I've come to bring punishment. The Lord loves, or the Lord chastises those that he loves. If the Lord does not rebuke you, trust me, he doesn't know you, or he doesn't love you. There is a great distinction between conviction and condemnation. Don't be caught between the two. When you're convicted, the Lord is drawing you and asking you to come closer to him so that you can come and repent of your sins. When you're condemned, you kick yourself, you feel guilty about everything. Everything to you is a curse. Everything to you is a problem. Everything to you is like, I'm not good enough. Everything to you is like you have a spirit of rejection. You come to church, you want to sit in a corner because you feel like they have rejected you. They saw what you did last night. I don't disagree. Those who have a high level of discernment, they can smell. Because sin smells. So what is our purpose in that area? Is to redeem that person out of the pit of hell and bring them before God. It is not for us to judge them, because in the same measure, that we have judged, we too will be judged. I want us to pray. Lamentations 3, verse 37. The Bible says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? If the Lord has not authorized and commanded it. So who can speak in your life and it comes to pass? If you've heard of a famous line that says, I think it's also a song, if God says no, who can say yes? And if God say yes, who can say no? Where am I going with this? There have been words that have been spoken over your life and family. And even by family. Because the first enemy is the enemy of your household. That's what the Bible says. There is no one who can come from afar and come and hate you. It is the one next to you. No, not next to you here. But it is the one close to you. The one you've been telling all your heart's desires, the one you've been sharing close things with, the one you've been confiding in. And it's not, you know, the Bible has a way of aligning things. As I'm saying this thing and saying somebody close to you is the one who hates you, the one who brings all these bad things to you, and there's a holy anger growing inside of your heart. And then God says, wait a minute, pray for your enemies. Love them. If they hit you on one cheek, give them another. Who can speak and it comes to pass if the Lord has not authorized it? Is it not out of the mouth of the Most High that evil and good both proceed, adversity and prosperity, physical evil or misfortune, and physical good or happiness? Why does a living man sigh, one who is still in this life school of discipline? And why does a man complain for the punishment of his sin? Let us test and examine our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Three years ago, I preached a message here, and the message was based on Matthew 12:43. I'll paraphrase it. It spoke of an evil spirit will depart and leave a body. But that wicked spirit will go out as it has been casted out into the arid places. The Bible also says into dry places, meaning the place where there is no water, there is no food, the place where there is death. And this spirit will say to itself, because it has no one where it is. The place that it has been sent to, it is bound with fetters of chains. Then that spirit will say to itself, let me go back to the house, my house. You see, before we pray the salvation prayer, the body belonged to you, but the thoughts that were given were from the enemy. So as soon as you welcome the Holy Spirit, there is nothing else that must come and enter your body. As the Bible says, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit came back and it saw the house being clean. When it realizes that the house is clean, the Bible says, if a strong man comes and delivers you and chase out another strong man, the one which is much more tougher and much more powerful, Jesus said, this powerful man called Jesus, he will come and relocate the strong man out of your life. Then he can own the house. So because the spirit was out, the unclean spirit, when it comes back, it finds the house clean and it says, there's no one living here. Let me go and get seven more other spirits. Because I was chased, because I was evicted, then I can come back with reinforcement. And the word for the church that time was, we have managed to chase the wicked spirit out of the church. We kept the house clean, but we did not fill it with anything. It's good to celebrate. It's good to have victory and honor the Lord in your celebration. All these things are good. The same way that Jesus, as he was tempted three times, Satan left him. And in the book of Luke, chapter 4, it says that the spirit left him for an opportune time. Opportune meaning it's a half word for opportunity. It means when the opportunity will present itself again and it finds that Jesus is not standing where he was standing, Satan will be able to overcome him. So what am I saying? As an oracle of God, I have been sent. Pray for your health. Pray for your church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a burden and a conviction to want to pray each time and mention this house. Hold on to that rope. Hold on to it. Like the woman with the issue of the blood. Hold on to it. Do not get tired in doing good. Rejoice, the Lord says. Rejoice. When you are tempted in tribulation, when you are pressed on every side for Christ's sake, rejoice. I'm left with one scripture. But I want us to do a prayer. Actually, you should be praying for me than me praying for you. Because the Lord has changed the order of things. For so long we have looked up to a pastor and saying, this man of God will come and give us 1, 2, 3. It is not I who wills, but it is the Lord. So when Huey and Aaron were raising the hands of Moses, he was winning the war. But every time Moses was putting his hands down as a form of worship, the Philistines were overtaking the Israelites. But every time he would raise his hands as a form of worship, the Israelites were winning. And his hands got tired. Because we get tired as pastors. We need to be refreshed. It is the same spirit or the same call that Ezekiel made when he was feeling tired. If anyone has ever been on a long fast, they will know what I'm talking about. You get to a point where you are tired. And you're saying, Lord, I'm breaking this fast. The Lord will give me grace. But Ezekiel 2 verse 2, it says that the spirit quickened. It means he was being faint. So even in your life, in your areas of life where you are feeling tired, call on the Spirit of the Lord, for he will give you a time of refreshing. I don't know how much time I've got left. But I want us to pray. I'm going to read a scripture which I didn't give at the back. It's Nehemiah 1, verse 5 to 6. This scripture is talking about Nehemiah confessing not only his sins, but also the sins of his father's house. There must be cleansing in our houses. We cannot come and say, I cannot achieve 1, 2, 3 because my parents did not achieve it. Or we cannot say as a parent, I have failed to do this spiritually. So therefore I see the result in my children and I don't know what to do. Here's an answer. And it reads, Jeremiah says, then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. The people of Israel, we can change that and say, the people of my household, I confess the sins of my family including myself and my father's house, that they have committed against you. We are not sin-orientated church or a nation. Everything that we do is not about right or wrong. It's not about, is this sin? Is this not sin? Is this holy? Is this not holy? Everything we do it for the glory of God. That's all. Also for prophets, you don't have to worry if your word is accurate. There's no need. You are close to God. You must worry about intimacy, not if the word is right. You can get a word wrong. We have seen those that we call the greatest prophets. They were saying Trump will come and be a president again. That time they were wrong. Now they are right. So don't be afraid to release a word. If you feel when you hear God is giving you a word inside, release the word. If you are wrong, so what? You are learning. We are all learning. There's a reason why God whispers, because He whispers because He's expecting you to be next to Him. So He doesn't have to shout. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you don't walk towards Him, He cannot walk towards you. Take the issue of the prodigal son. When he came to the father ran to him. When I came to church after a long time not coming here, the first thing that Dr. Harris said to me, he said, welcome home, my son. Let me pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we confess our sins and the sins of our ancestors. We confess every covenant that they have entered into that was unlawful and was not glorifying you. We refuse to allow the past to determine our future, because we know you exist in the past, in the present, and in the future. We renounce and we reject all past sins. To the best of our ability, we will work things right with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we declare that we are a children. We are the children of God. The blood of Jesus has regenerated us. We do not live under any curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We take authority as children of God, and we release our thanksgiving unto you. We thank you, Father, that we are free from any generational curse. We do not inherit anything that was not of God from our forefathers and the generations before. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. And behold, all things are made anew. We live under the new covenant with better blessings and better promises. We are blessed in the city and we are blessed in the country. Everything we set our hands to do will be blessed. Bless the works of our hands, Lord. Our children are blessed too. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We are blessed going in, we are blessed going out. We shall lend to many nations, and we will not borrow from none. Father, I just want to thank you as you've given your word, and you have said you bless the land that we live on. You bless our bread, and you bless our water. Let everything that is flowing from your throne to this pulpit, to your people, be water that is clean. We pray and we ask for the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of this house. every utensils, as you have said in your word, that every tool, every item should be used for the glory of God, should be used for the good purpose of God in His house, treasured house. So Lord, your people have given their lives to Jesus. They have welcomed the Holy Spirit into their life. Your word says, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This church is the body of Christ. We have prayed, therefore we have believed, and therefore we have spoken that Jesus is Lord, and there is no other God except my God. So Lord, according to Luke 4:18, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want each person to either place your hand on your head or place it on your chest. I want to pray over you. Whichever one you feel led, whether you place it on your head or on your chest, doesn't matter. Father, you said in your word, Luke 4:18, that you have anointed Christ to preach the gospel, to break free the captives, to set those who are bound to be free. So as the anointing of the Holy Spirit is flowing through me, I have preached the gospel to the poor, Lord. It has been received. So right now I pray for each and every person who has their hand on them. They have needs. And I'm asking you, Lord, to heal the brokenhearted. I'm asking you to proclaim liberty to those who are kept captive. I'm asking you, Lord, to open eyes, give recovery to sight, open spiritual ears, and open spiritual eyes. I'm asking you to set us at liberty, for your word says, whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And Father, those who are oppressed of any mind games, of any mind controlling, of any oppression of the mind, that they cannot think properly, that they forget things, they do not have an illness of dementia, but they keep on forgetting things. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you have broken them free in Jesus' mighty name. Those who are oppressed, that they feel an oppression whenever they want to pray, they are unable to. Whenever they want to read the word of God, they are unable to. Whenever they want to involve themselves into the things of God, whenever they want to do something with diligence and excellency, they find themselves having a spirit of vagabond, roaming around, not knowing what to do. Father, I command by the fire of the Holy Spirit for them to be broken free in Jesus' name. Lord, any voice that has been speaking to your people, Father, I pray that that voice will be silenced now by the blood of Jesus. I proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord over their lives. Even as we are walking into 2025, Father, let this year be the year of the Lord for them. Let them live in a different circumstance and time frame and zone, that they will experience heaven on earth. As you said in your word, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in heaven as in on earth. Father, I pray that every need be met in this house. I pray that chains be broken. Liberty come to your people. Freedom. For you have said, I repeat, I reiterate, whoever the Son sets free shall be unquestionably free indeed. Free our minds, from any wicked thing. Free our spirit. Wherever anyone's soul that has been bound, has been sent into the pit of fire, right now I ask by the name of Jesus that break every chain, to break free in the name of Jesus. Some have been living, but their souls have not been with them. Right now I command those souls to listen to my voice and to come back to their bodies in the name of Jesus. Those that have been feeling weary and weak, Lord, I pray that you strengthen them this day in the name of Jesus. Give them a time of refreshing. Refresh them, O Lord. Refresh them. Even as I speak, refresh them in the mighty name of Jesus. For anything that they have lost in their lives, let it be restored. Let it be restored. According to Joel 2:25, let it be restored. Whatever the cankerworm has eaten, whatever crop that they have lost in their farms, Father, let it be restored in the name of Jesus. Whatever has been eating up their finances, I command it to be broken now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak restoration. Restoration of families, restoration of marriages, restoration of love. I speak that the God's anointing will begin to flow in their lives mightily, in a miraculous way. For Jesus has said, many are the things that I have done and they cannot be written in this book. I am asking you, Lord, that you rewrite their history and you rewrite their future in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that in all of this we'll come back and glorify you and we see your heart in all that you do. I honor you, Father. I magnify your holy name. I give thanks, for this is the will and the glory of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. In everything, Lord, you said we must give thanks. And I honor you and I give you thanks. I exalt you above everything else. I count everything else rubbish in my life that I have accomplished, for as long as I have not accomplished it with you. So Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ain't God good? The Lord is good. All the time. My message doesn't have a title. But I think I came to speak to you and for God to speak to us. When Gideon went to war, he had thousands of soldiers. But the Lord said, it's too much. You are not here by mistake. You are here because it was God's order. You took your time. And I'm honored that you came to hear what the Lord is saying. I pray for your complete deliverance. That whatever has entered that door, it will be shut completely by the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Only 300 were left to win against the army that was fighting. So what am I saying? You might look around and say, Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so are not in church. And you think you are not enough. I want to encourage you to say, God has won battles, sometimes with one, David. And sometimes he won battles without even being there. When Elisha was speaking to his servant, he said, Lord, 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 16, he said, open his eyes that he may see that many are with us than those that are against us. They never fought, but the battle was won. The two lepers who were standing by the gate, they never fought. Israel was going into hunger. There was starvation. And the city was locked down. And they knew the other nation will overtake them. And what did they do? The battle was won without them even raising a sword. So go with this as you go home. You have left with Jesus. Some battles you will win without even lifting a sword.